Do we make too much of Paul? Well, we do speak a great deal about him. There's one person, of course, to whom we refer much more often, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But we do have a great deal to say about Paul, and I'll tell you why. Paul was the chief of sinners, and Christ is the Savior of sinners. What a wonderful combination. A great sinner and a great Savior. And God is able and willing to save you right now, no matter how great a sinner you may be, if you will acknowledge your sin and trust in Christ as your Savior. People have often said that Christ is our pattern, and that we should walk in His footsteps to be saved. But that's not what the Bible teaches, and it cannot be so. First, Christ lived a perfect life, and His perfection only shows up my imperfection. His holiness draws attention to my utter sinfulness and unworthiness. His life would condemn me. It's His death that saves me. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, Christ died for our sin. But secondly, Christ is not our pattern because He lived in a different age, under a different dispensation. He was under the law, we read in Galatians 4:4. You'll remember He was circumcised the eighth day in a spiritual ritual. I beg your pardon, I meant to say in a religious ritual. He went to the synagogue every Sabbath day, that is, on Saturday. He kept the Jewish feast days of the law. Must we follow Him in these things? Oh no. Christ stands alone. He is the Son of God, God the Son, our Savior. It's true that He said, follow me, when as a man He walked on earth. But instead of following Him, you'll remember they crucified Him and sent Him back to heaven, a royal exile from His own creation, and then persecuted His followers for years after. Now, here's where Paul comes in. Christ knew that He would be rejected. The Scriptures had predicted this long before, and in wonderful love, the rejected Lord, instead of judging the world, saved Saul of Tarsus, the chief of sinners, the leader of the world's rebellion against Christ, and so ushered in this present age of grace, in which any poor sinner can be saved by grace through faith in Christ entirely apart from religious works. So today Christ is our Savior, but Paul is our pattern in salvation, in walk, in service. God says so, and I'll show you where. And by the way, did you know that Paul is the only one beside the Lord Jesus Christ who said, follow me, again and again and again, as far as the Scriptures are concerned? Not because he was so great, but because God gave him the message and made him the pattern for this present age of grace. Now, first, the Bible teaches clearly that God made Paul the pattern for our salvation. I hope you have a New Testament at hand. If you do, why don't you turn with me a moment to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 to 16. That's Paul's first letter to Timothy. Chapter 1, verses 13 to 16. I'll read at least parts of this passage. He says, I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. Then he goes on, the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. Verse 15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Verse 16, howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to those who should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ couldn't be the pattern for our salvation, beloved, for he didn't need to be saved. But the chief of sinners makes a good pattern, doesn't he? So if you're not saved, I say sincerely, take Paul as your pattern and Christ as your Savior, and you'll be saved. If Paul is not our pattern in every way, but he is our pattern in salvation. 1 Timothy 1:13-16 says he was our pattern in the infinite grace of God shown to him in saving him. Or to put it another way, he was a pattern to the extent that he was saved by the infinite grace of God to him as a sinner. So take your place with the chief of sinners and trust in Christ who died for our sins. For Ephesians 1:7, and this was written by the Apostle Paul as inspired by the Holy Spirit, this passage says, "We have redemption through Christ's blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of God's grace." It was this message of abundant, indiscriminate grace to sinners that Paul burned out his life to proclaim. Sometimes he had to fight to keep this message of pure grace unadulterated. He wasn't like some of our preachers today who tell us that they'd rather not discuss controversial subjects. To them, the church is just a nice religious club for happy fellowship together. You'll remember that sometime after the Galatian Christians had been saved, Paul heard that they were going back to the law and circumcision, and he wrote them a sharp letter. In the first verse of the 3rd chapter, he says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath charmed you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been plainly set forth crucified?" And in the 3rd verse, he says, "Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" How this verse comes home to the church today. How the apostle of grace would thunder these words to us if he were here today. Men are saved by the grace of God, and God says he sees them complete in Christ. But then this or that clergyman comes along and says, "But you ought to be baptized with water." You know, not that it will save you or even add anything to your Christian life, but. And then come all the ifs and ands and buts. They say it's following Christ, or putting on Christ, or being buried with Christ. They say it's like a soldier putting on his uniform, or it's a good testimony, or it makes the transaction complete, none of which the Word of God says. God says that the sinner who trusts Christ as his Savior is complete in him. What can you add to that? Read Colossians 2:9-17 and see how God's word insists that we are complete in Christ, circumcised and baptized, dead, buried, and raised with Christ. Paul's words to the Galatians ought to be read at many, many a ritualistic service in the church today. "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" Beloved, when you once see the grace of God to the chief of sinners, when you once see the revelation of this great mystery, this great secret of grace, God's dispensation to the Apostle Paul, then mere religion will fall off like scales and Christ will be all. Is that so sad? One man said to me one time, "You've taken everything away from you." I said, "Have I taken Christ away from you?" He said, "Oh, no, no, you've made Christ precious indeed." Well, is that so sad? And is that so wrong for us to make all of Christ? Now, as Paul is our pattern in salvation, so he's our pattern in service too. God's Word says so. Listen to Ephesians 3, verses 8 and 9, where he says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Why did God pick Paul for this? The next verse tells us, "And to make all men see," or to make all see. What is the fellowship? Now, in the original, the word there is oikonomia, dispensation, or administration, or stewardship. Many have translated this stewardship. It would be well to do so here. To make all men see what is the stewardship, or the dispensing, of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. That is, into whose hands he commits the dispensing, the dispensation of this wonderful grace. You see, the chief of sinners was saved by the grace of God, and the least of saints was used by the grace of God. As he saved Saul for a pattern to them that should hereafter believe, so he used Paul to make all men see into whose hands he commits this glorious message. Sometimes Christians are prone to say, "Oh, he can't use me." Oh, but he can. He used Paul, who was less than the least of all saints. And now I can almost hear somebody murmur, "But you don't mean that he was really the least of all saints." Well, the inspired word of God says he was. When Paul said he was the chief of sinners and less than the least of all saints, this was not just modesty, beloved. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this, and this is part of the Word of God. Not merely Paul's word to Timothy, it is God's word to us. You say, "But see how God used him." Exactly. That's why. Doesn't 1 Corinthians 1:27 say that God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things that are mighty, and the things which are not to put to naught the things which are? It's true that intellectually Paul was not less than others. He says he was less than the least of all saints. Do you think you have a struggle with your sinful nature? Then listen to Paul's words in Romans 7, verses 18 and 19. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do." And in verse 24, he cries, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" But he answers, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." God's word says that Saul was the chief of sinners, and he tells us why he saved him, so that any poor sinner might have hope and know that God will save him by grace through faith in Christ. And God's word says that Paul was less than the least of all saints, and again he tells us why he used him so mightily. It was so that you, my Christian friend, might take hope and know that God is waiting to use you to win some other soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, to encourage and help some other believer. 1 Corinthians 4 rightly says, "We have this treasure." And Paul is speaking here about his distinctive message. What a treasure it is. "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." Vessels that are easily broken and marred and cracked. But he says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, in order that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." And is not this what we should desire? Should we not wish, since we are only poor sinners who might very justly have been wiped from the face of the earth in God's anger, but instead were saved, should we not want just to be humbly used of him and to see the glory go to him? God chose Paul to be our pattern in behavior because during this present evil age, the help that we need cannot come from trying to copy Christ, but must come from some other kind of example. So as Paul is our pattern in salvation, as he's our pattern in service, he's our pattern in conduct too. The modernist says that Christ is, the liberal. He says Christ is our pattern. We should live like him. Ah, but we can't live like him. None of us have succeeded in all the generations that have followed generations of Christians. Nobody has succeeded in living like Christ. But now let's read Philippians 3, verses 12 to 14. Paul says there, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I strain for the goal, for the prize of the high calling, or the calling on high of God in Christ Jesus. And now listen to verse 17. Brethren, be ye followers of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. So there you have it the third time. Paul, our pattern in salvation, our example in Christian service, and our pattern or example also in Christian conduct. Oh, this encourages me. As a Christian, how often I have failed. I want to please God, but I stumble and fall. I'm saved by the precious blood of Christ. I know it. I've never doubted it. But what can I do to live a better Christian life and please and honor God more in this world of sin? Ah, Paul, God's chosen pattern for the church today tells us how. He says very frankly, I'm not perfect either, but I've learned a secret. I do one thing. First of all, I forget what is behind. Past successes would only puff me up. Past failures, the memory of them, would only discourage me. So, I forget what's behind, and I reach forth unto that which is before, straining for the goal. What is the goal? The upward call of God in Christ. And then he says, be followers of me. What is the upward call that he refers to here? Well, let me ask you, what was Israel's calling? Well, that shouldn't be hard to find. You find it through all the Old Testament and a good deal of the New. His calling, Israel's calling, was to make God's name great in the earth. There are little foreshadowings of the future fulfillment of this when Jerusalem and its temple were glorified under Solomon. But I say this was just a foreshadowing. Someday, Messiah will return, and as Romans 11 says, will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And Israel will be exalted in the earth, and an offspring of David, Christ, will reign and judge in the earth. as Jeremiah 25 says, and this world will then become a blessed and happy place to live in. Then, as Revelation 11 says, the kingdoms of this world will have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. Then it will be a good thing for a believer to be worldly, for this world will no longer be Satan's world. It will be Christ's world. But this is not the calling of those who are living in this dispensation, the members of the body of Christ. At Pentecost, Peter said to Israel, if you'll repent, God will send Jesus back down here. But today, during this present evil age of his rejection, God says, if you'll believe, God will take you up to heaven. And our calling is heavenward. The believer today has a position in heaven, in Christ. Ephesians 2 tells us this. And he has a prospect in heaven. Someday he will be caught away bodily to be with Christ in heaven.